This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Roll into hour number two, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, also on ESPN2, live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District. And it's brought to you by Grey Goose. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to be part of the conversation with us as we'll continue that with you. And also remind you, today is Giving Tuesday. It's a global day of giving. It's also part of ESPN's. It's the beginning of ESPN's V-Week as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer. And we can all make a difference today by supporting cancer research. It's needed now more than ever. And we know that things continue to be tough for so many folks. And this time of year, being the holiday season, we're spending our monies in different places. But if you're able, give now at v.org/donate, v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. And that conversation, of course, will continue today and, as always, around here throughout the year. But as we, Bart, move on from we'll keep the conversation going with the listeners. We have the callers. We have you racked, stacked, ready to go. We will get back to them because we do want to go around the league. The trust factor continues today with some of these teams that we're seeing now as December football is upon us. The next NFL game is Thursday. That's December 1st. Bills, Patriots, December football is a real thing. But right now, the real thing that we want to do, that we do every week at this time, is Blitz or Prevent.
Here we go.
This is Blitz.
Blitz is coming, sack, fumble.
Or Prevent.
God, what a catch.
All right, Bart Scott, you know the rules. Blitz or Prevent. Blitz it. You want to jump on this because you vehemently disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent, meh. Right? Not really feeling it.
Yeah.
You know? Don't really disagree. Whatever you want to be.
You don't have to take my pocket change.
Exactly. So the first statement I have for you, Blitz or Prevent. Let's be honest. The worst Wilson quarterback situation is not Zach. It's Russell.
Blitz that. I mean, I thought, anytime you got your guy telling you, trying to pump you up so you can try and get a win over Sam Darnold, you in dire straits. You know what I mean? Sam Darnold was the better quarterback on the football field and was swagging it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's tough. I don't know how bad it can get. Like, it looks like this locker room is starting to turn on him.
Mm-hmm.
And all that let it ride and all this, the sun will come out tomorrow, Pleasantville stuff, ain't playing no more, Richie Cunningham. It's time for you to get some grit and get down and dirty. This is a lost season by one of the best rosters on the team. I mean, in the NFL, you talk about the weapons they have on the offensive side of the ball. Seems like they've been hamstrung by Russell Wilson. Who would have thought that, who's the guy that went to the Seattle Seahawks? They might ask.
Drew Lock?
Yeah, they might ask to trade back for Drew Lock. Just for a consolation prize. Come on, man. Give us Drew back, man. You got Geno, man. Give us Drew back.
At least give us him back.
Because they have the number one scoring defense in all of the land.
Yeah.
Despite the ineptitude of the offense. Could you imagine an offense turns the ball over, don't put points on the board, punts all the time, and that defense still holds the opposing offense
and you
under
saw
17?
Frustration as defense was walking off the field in this game. You saw the frustration on that defense.
Did you see Russ' face? He seemed so unbothered and expired and unmoved.
That's a concern.
Like, yeah, buddy.
It is a $250 million problem right now.
Me and CeCe has a black tie affair tomorrow, so I don't. Yeah,
that's
I,
right.
I have to get back. I'm flying back on my own.
Let's continue,
jet.
Blitzer. All right, so we agree. The worst Wilson quarterback right now is Russell. Blitzer Prevent, Bart Scott. I'm going to say this delicately. Well, first, before I say what I want to say, I want you to listen to something that Mina Kim said on Spain and Fitz. And then I will make the statement that you can blitz or prevent.
I do, question whether the team is being steered correctly. And that's not to absolve Brady altogether. He was off target at times. I don't think Mike Evans is playing to his ability at the moment. But it feels like this is an issue from the top down, and it's getting to a point where we're so late in the season, you question whether it can be fixed.
Now, you know who we're talking about if we hear Brady's name. That would be the Bucs. So here it is.
Chip ahoy.
Blitz or prevent. If Bruce Arians was still coaching Tampa, they'd have a winning record.
I'm going to blitz that, but that's a hard one for me because it seems like all things are equal. They still have the better team within the division, but yet they lost to Atlanta. I mean, they lost to Carolina.
Win that division by default.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Carolina. What I'm saying is, even if they didn't beat the upper echelon teams, they're losing to bad teams.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. That's an issue. They lost to Cleveland. They lost to Carolina.
Tell me that's not coaching.
That's culture. And
In charge of
the head? The head coach, Todd Bowles, and he has to take accountability for the lack of urgency from his team. And that's something that we've seen before. And this is supposed to be his second chance. And it's undeniable that he has the personnel. So this isn't a talent issue like he maybe had at times with the Jets.
Let me ask you this. Is it a timing thing? Meaning hard to eat when you're full? Chris Kenny says this all the time. They win a Super Bowl, kind of happy. You got a quarterback who is about to retire, then doesn't. No, is the urgency gone because the goal has already been reached?
No, because they got disappointed last year. They got bounced. So if this was a year like the Rams this year, I would say, oh, maybe. But they should be hungry because they lost. And it's a lot of guys that came over there, whether it was draft or free agency, that doesn't have a title.
And guys got paid, too.
Yeah.
And guys got paid.
I get that.
So maybe that's part of it, and Todd Bowles' timing was bad. One way or another.
It goes on his permanent record.
It's worth to ask the question. All right, we continue with Blitzer Prevent on Bart and Hahn. All right, Bart Scott. Blitzer Prevent. Now, as we heard today, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, lacerated kidney, the safety for the Eagles. Another injury now for that defense. Jordan Davis, they have missed him. In fact, they missed him so much they signed 600 pounds worth of humans to replace him and has not had that impact. Has not had an impact. So now you lose a guy who just does nothing but intercept the football and make tackles in the open field. So, Blitzer Prevent, the Eagles' defensive injuries will be their downfall.
I think if this team does not live up to expectations, it's going to be because the defensive side of the ball let them down. And that's hard to say, a team that has Fletcher Cox, Bradbury, Big Play Slay, and Graham, and all the pieces. N'Kobe Dean was supposed to be somebody to help them at the second level. And they just don't stop the run. Jordan Davis is supposed to be the big man. You talk about 700 pounds in between your two tackles being able to hold up. They went out and got another 600 pounds, and it just doesn't seem it. So which that kind of tells me a schematic or the technique in which they're teaching that, they don't understand how to stop the run. The Jets stopped the run with a lot less beef, especially in the middle.
Well, they just sent waves at you.
You can't say more talent.
Right.
Because Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis should be, two of the best interior linemen, past and future.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on defensively with those injuries for the Eagles. And that one to Gardner-Johnson is a big one right now. All right. Blitzer Prevent, the last one. The Cincinnati Bengals, who have looked really good. They won't win the AFC North.
Yeah, I'm going to blitz that. I know my Ravens really let me down this week. I mean, going to lay an egg, I think they were overlooking the Jacksonville Jaguars of what they've been.
Another fourth quarter, it just doesn't make sense.
The Ravens is a team, and I'll get to that when we talk about, trust fall.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost all four of their games this year by 4 points. And they had a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter.
What is their differential in the fourth quarter? Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
They've had
it
a
must
nine.
Be awful.
Well, we noticed 21 because you look at what happened in the fourth quarter against Miami alone.
Yeah.
It's going to put you plus like 15.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why they can't close out games. Gus Edwards with a costly fumble in their own territory. Mm-hmm. And then Justin Tucker trying to hit a 67-yard field goal that if they would have probably got two more yards, he would have hit probably a 64-yarder.
Right. So we're in agreement, though. And by the way, what you didn't point out was the Ravens do have the easiest schedule in comparison to the Bengals, who have at their upcoming. You talk about the Dolphins. Look at what the Bengals have coming up these next couple of weeks. Yeah. This might be the best of times for this season. But, you never know. They did get to the Super Bowl last year. All right, that's Blitzer Prevent. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Back to the peoples.
Is the number. We do have the calls to get you. But speaking of the Ravens, Bart. For the first time, we saw a little bit of a character blemish for Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a concern is there in Baltimore about that? We'll discuss that momentarily. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach. With our easy-to-use mobile app, learn more at progressivecommercial.com. All right, Bart, as I mentioned, as you said, they lose a terrible game to lose to a team they shouldn't lose to, the Ravens I'm talking about. And Lamar Jackson, frustration starting to boil over. For some reason, he likes to go to social media and read replies and comments. A guy at his stature probably shouldn't, but he does. And he decided to, I think it was a reply. And in it, of course, using profanity that it's just words you should not be using towards people. He deleted it, but still.
It's too late.
In this world, tweets are screen grabbed immediately, and they live on forever. Is there concern within the Ravens organization, who has still yet to sign him to a long-term extension, about this controversial tweet, John Harbaugh?
Just beg guys not to, you know, not to get into the Twitter world right after the game, especially after a loss. It's never going to be positive. It's not going to be a nice place. What he said was just so out of character for him. That's not the way he speaks. It's not the way he talks. It's not the words he ever uses. I've never heard him say things like that before. But like we talk, like you said, Bo, he wants to win. You know, I'm sure he's frustrated, just like we all are. And that's just a place you just don't want to live right after a game.
Bar, let me ask you, because you're a Raven. Yeah. You know that organization well. You know the people that run that organization well. How big of an impact does this have on how they view him?
Zero.
How they will approach signing him? Because we know that they have yet to come to an agreement on a deal.
Zero. Zero effect, right? You talk about the overall character of the young man, right? And what he said, nobody agrees with. And you should never talk to anybody like that, especially a fan or a heel or, you know, a troll. But, you know, he has to learn from and understand that everything that he says is going to be magnified. And what he used is a old school term, and I don't think it was directed towards any community. You know, if it was going to be viewed that way, that's an old term or insult of a derogatory language that should never be used, should have been used then, should have been used there. But what I don't want to it be misunderstood that it was, you know, directed towards the LBG, I always say it wrong, community, because it wasn't that.
So it was frustration that got to him.
Of course.
And he used obviously something that shouldn't be, you know, ever used. And of course, now it's being used against him.
Yeah, but the Ravens won't.
The Ravens know who he is.
The outside people, the public can say, but when you spend time with a guy every day for the last 4 years, you know who he is.
Let me ask you this. Does it at least kind of show?
It shows frustration.
That he is reaching a boiling point because why?
Like, it shows frustration. Right?
Why respond?
I mean, you talk about the type of loss too, right? It's the type of loss. You talk about four losses.
Who you lost to.
And four losses in which you haven't closed out the game.
Yep.
Right? When you're winning, you think you got it under control. And Gus Edwards, who was making his first return back from injury, fumbles on your own territory. Mm-hmm. And you end up losing to Jacksonville. And now you have to hear people say certain things, and
you don't
respond.
Have to. Well, that's the thing I try to say.
Bro, you should hear my mentions, man.
Like, you don't have to.
Yeah,
this is all you got to do. Log out.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't have to hear it. Like you can hear it in the stadium. You can hear it in the stadium.
Yeah,
you're going to. But once you leave the stadium, you don't have to hear it. You choose to hear it saying, "What are they saying?" You want to know. That's the stuff that I think frustrates me about some athletes who respond to people, and you're like, why are you there? When you're in the midst, like Zach Wilson right now, should not be on social media.
They should take his phone.
Don't bother. It's not a good place to go. If you're looking for a safe landing, there's better places than social media right now. Lamar, you just lost to a team you should. You know how fans are? Unforgiving. Zero chance.
Forget
we
about what
all
you did
deal
for me.
With it, right?
Yeah. Forget the fact that you're still in first place in the division. Like, it don't matter.
It's not about that. It's always going to be about what they want more. Mm-hmm. Never happy. But that's because fans live through it, and in the moment,
they live
you're
minute
angry.
To minute. They live minute to minute.
After a loss.
Yeah, we have to look at the entire picture. We can't live minute to minute.
Yeah, but to seek out. That
well, some people like the criticism. Some people like the criticism
you
because
don't
it gives
see the hate.
No, because some people do. Like I didn't mind seeing the hate. Like, but every once in a
for
while,
what reason?
Every once because it gives me motivation and fuel. Like it's weird, but you know, you look at it like, all right, I got you. But then it must have been a particular one. Like, oh, he going a little walk a flock, and then you hit back, and then he come back hard. Like,
you
oh.
feel like I can't allow him to say that. When you're not responding.
No, sometimes you feel like, okay, let me just respond, right? Because I had to respond a little bit to some people that came at me and Stephen A. about what we said last week about Jerry Jones. about how I'm not going to judge a 14-year-old in a pitcher 66 years ago that's not throwing anything or screaming. Right. Looks like he's just standing there. I have a 14-year-old daughter that if something unique was happening at the school, she would probably kind of see what the hell's going
what's
on,
what's going
too.
On over here?
Right. So, but you should have seen how they came at me and Stephen A. Oh, you coon, you did. I'm like, hold up, bro. Wasn't I just in the Spike Lee documentary about Colin Kaepernick speaking up? Like, what are we talking about? Like, you don't get to judge me. But so that got to me a little bit. Even now, I feel the need sometimes just to defend yourself a little bit on certain things. It's not smart, and you have to understand how not to go too far.
Without directly responding to someone.
Yeah.
And I'm making it sound easy. Like I haven't ever clapped back at somebody and then regretted it. Trust me. We all do it because there's certain things in this business that we're in.
There's some things you can't say.
You know you're facing criticism, and you're like, whoa, I'm not letting you get away with that. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
But, again, there are ways that athletes, don't reply. Yeah. Just make it a general.
I got down so bad one day that somebody just said, hey, man, the person you're arguing with, 12. I say, well, his ass shouldn't be on his social media, and you should be chastising him about talking to adults. You come in his room, I don't know how old you are, and I don't really care.
That part is true as well.
You better get your damn son. He's talking to a damn grown-ass man. And if you don't want it, and if he don't shut up, you're going to take his ass whooping.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So speaking of the AFC North, let's get some more news from Barton Hunt Nation. We've got Brian in Ohio hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. Brian.
Yes.
What's happening?
How we doing, guys?
Good.
I just want to talk to Bart a little about Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
He has strong opinions on the Bengals. He's a hater.
Yeah, of course. I am openly. Me and Gary Owens went at it. Understand how emotionally invested I am in that rivalry. I played in that division for 7 years. And then, guess who I had to go through to get to my AFC championships as a member of the Jets? The Bengals.
That's right.
Of course, I don't hide it. I'm open with it. Yes, I hate the Bengals. It's okay. I never lied. Was I humbled last year when Macaulay Culkin Jr. went out and balled out and went to the Super Bowl? Yes, that was a tough pill to swallow. But this year is a different year because we ain't all injured and it's a fair fight because we'll have Lamar Jackson. Am I nervous? Yes, I'm scared to death, but I'm going to ride with my squad, and you would do the same. So you should appreciate the fact that I ride hard for my squad that put cheese on my taco and that allowed me to play the game that I love. And you should appreciate that. And yes, I am an openly Cincinnati Bengals.
I hate
Sky Chili. I hate having to visit there. All that, but I can respect them at the same time.
Can I get a word in here? I'm the one who called. You get to talk all day long. I'd like to get a word in here real quick.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
All right, Brian, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so this isn't your old Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are gone. Now we got a guy leading the helm named Joe Burrow, Joe Cool, Joe Scheisty. You call him what you want to call him, but don't call him Macaulay Culkin, man.
He does look like Macaulay Culkin if he didn't do the drugs. He don't look like Macaulay Culkin.
No, he's a lot different Macaulay.
Hey,
man,
listen, I want you to – no, I didn't say he's Macaulay Culkin. I said he looks like Macaulay Culkin if Macaulay Culkin never did drugs. If Macaulay Culkin took creatine, he would look just like Joe Burrow. You know it and I know it.
Hey, Bart, you look like Carlton on steroids. Come on, man.
It's okay. That's fair, too. That's fair. But you know this. Yeah. You can say whatever you want. This dude looks like Macaulay Culkin. He looks like Kevin with cheese
like
pizza.
Macaulay Culkin.
I didn't say
he
that.
He's one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL now. You know that.
I am not denying his talent. But somebody can have talent. We can make fun. We can love LeBron, and I can talk about his head look like a pizza when you pull the pepperoni off. I can say that. He's still the greatest basketball player of all time, but his ball spot, and he's trying to hide it and put black flakes and Beijing dye in his head ain't going to make me not get on his butt.
Let's leave it there, Brian. It's glad we can make you laugh. Appreciate the call, as always, and that's what this show is. For those who might be new to it, it's when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, I can respect him and say he's talented, but if he look like Macaulay Culkin, damn it, you look like Macaulay Culkin without the steroids and the drugs.
If you're going to take things like that personally, this is probably not the place for you. But that's just kind of how this goes. And the Macaulay Culkin thing is, I don't think it's disrespectful at all. He was one of the most famous people in the world.
Macaulay Culkin was one of the cutest kids. Yep. And outside of Webster and Arnold Drummond, that was one of the cutest little kids that ever do TV.
Well, he was
Drew Barrymore.
He did movies.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore, yep. Cute kid. Yep. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
And you're just saying Joe Burrow does. And if Joe Burrow ever wanted to, on Halloween,
yes,
could definitely pull it off.
All he got to do is walk around trick-or-treating with a cheese piece
Home
in his
Alone
hand.
25.
Yeah. Oh, crap. Macaulay cleaned himself up.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's what you get from us, folks. That's what you get. We have more of your calls coming up, of course, and stay with us because it is the beginning of V Week for us. It is Giving Tuesday, is what I was meant to say. And v.org/donate is the place to go to be part of the fight against cancer. And 100% of your donations go to cancer research. That, of course, is the most important thing we are focusing on today. But we do have your calls to get to. We will continue the conversation as well. December football, it begins Thursday
night.
I
want all the smoke, Alan.
And yes.
Keep coming. Keep it coming.
Keep
we ain't got to the NFC East yet.
All right. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
To those of you out there who are suffering from cancer, facing adversity, I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world.
Join the fight against cancer. Go to v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And yes, V Foundation, of course, this is the best thing that we do here at ESPN. V.org/donate is the website to go to. 100% of your donations go to cancer research. Giving Tuesday begins our V Week. And this is, again, something that we do twice a year. And this time of year especially, because while you focus on family and focus on gift giving and, of course, receiving, there's also this part of it as well, which is giving. And that's what we're trying to get you to be part of with us. It is imperative, as you know, every story. Every person is affected in some way or another by cancer. And altogether, we can beat cancer. Victory over cancer is the motto for us as we continue this fight with the V Foundation. Bart, you wanted to talk about something that I think in the NFL is something we should focus on that is outside of divisional battles. It is teams that are out of it.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers says today he plans on playing next week, this coming week. And that's not a good idea. I don't think it makes sense if you're the Packers to play him.
Right.
And not because he can get hurt more, whatever. Why is Aaron Rodgers going to play at a time where you know this season, although he said mathematically we're not mathematically eliminated yet, we know where this is headed.
Yes.
So why would he say, I'm playing Sunday regardless, when you know that would force the team, that would force, whether it's LaFleur or Gutekunst to say, No, you're not, we're sitting you, which means technically Aaron Rodgers is being benched.
Yeah.
That's a tough situation right now for the Packers to be in.
I mean, listen, we talked about it could have been a blessing in disguise, him getting hurt, his ribs being hurt, because it allows them to be able to evaluate Jordan Love. And listen to where it's coming from, right? You think about Aaron Rodgers. What was the narrative? Man, when Jordan Love got in, he looked pretty damn good.
He did.
So
he looked all right. He looked in control.
So what happens if Jordan Love comes and plays well? Then what happens? It heightens the conversation and a discussion with the upper brass. What should we really do? Should we approach Aaron Rodgers about potentially, like, because it's not like Jordan Love has one or two games left. It's like six.
Yeah.
You get a true evaluation.
Month of football left.
You get a true evaluation of what he is, how he bounces back, good games, bad games. You get all the throws in there. And you're like, man, we got the young quarterback to grow with the young two receivers, Dobbs and also Watson.
Right.
Like, man, we got a young squad.
Give it time to take a look at it and see where it's going.
And that scares Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's trying to protect himself by not allowing this kid to get good film out there because it could mean the end.
True.
Unceremonious end to him.
Yeah, true team player in that aspect. But, again, a conversation that we will continue with you at 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we now turn our focus back to, you know, the effort of the day, and that, of course, is the V Foundation and Victory Over Cancer. This is Giving Tuesday, and V.org/donate is the place to go. And the man who is the CEO of the V Foundation, we've talked to him before. We bring him back on the show. Shane Jacobson joins us right now. Shane, how are you? And you know, I guess let's just begin with, first, happy holidays. And second, what this day means to, obviously, the V Foundation, the whole week, and what it means to you personally now as, of course, the head of this foundation.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alan and Bart. Thank you for having me back. Today, and as part of V Week, Giving Tuesday gives us the chance to celebrate. And the word celebrate may be an odd word to use when you talk about cancer. It's such a devastating disease. And I know we've talked before about both of your experiences, friends and family, and the audience's experiences. We have too many of these examples in our lives. But celebrate is an important word because we celebrate Jim Valvano's legacy and his vision to achieve victory over cancer. And it's an honor of a lifetime for me personally and for the staff here at the V Foundation. I know for your colleagues at ESPN to celebrate the impact of the V Foundation and to celebrate the impact of an organization now almost 30 years old. We'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary next year, that we've made huge strides. There's a 30 percentage point improvement in survivorship in this country in the last 30 years, due in large part to advances in cancer research. And that's something we celebrate. And we double down on our commitment to do even more in days like Giving Tuesday, and the invitation for people to give back and invest in cancer research is significant for us each and every year.
Yeah, I mean, I have the numbers here. The cancer death rate for men and women combined, it fell 32% from its peak in 1991 to 2019. It translates to almost 3.5 million fewer cancer deaths during those years. And then the risk of death from cancer has dropped about 2% a year from 2015 through 2019 compared to 1% a year through the 90s. So it just shows, again, the impact that the foundation has had, and of course, we need to continue to have, because what we want is that to be 100% at some point.
Completely agree. If we do this right, we would work the V Foundation out of business, and that's a lofty statement, and it will take a long time to get there. But the speed at which we're moving towards that finish line, as you said, is increasing each and every day.
Hey, Shane, big picture, how important has, you know, the V Foundation, the partnership with ESPN, been, not the monetary impact, but just the social impact of the cause, because
the message,
so many times, you know, if it's a celebrity or somebody that's not a celebrity, their struggles and their fights are private. But, you know, we talk about the public battle, you know, Stuart Scott, Coach V, you know, Dick Vitale.
Craig Sager.
And also remember, you know, the fight with Eric Berry, because so often, you know, people that have stature or status, you know, people believe that they have perfect lives. But I think it humanizes, you know, cancer, and knowing that nobody's immune and nobody's, you know, safe. It can affect all of us. How important have that partnership and being able to shine the public light on public figures and their battles?
Yeah, Bart, the partnership, I would describe it as second to none. I mean, it is so very rare to have a charity so embraced and so part of the fabric of a business, of an organization, of an enterprise, certainly one like ESPN that is broadcasting games and sports and commentary and the V Foundation to millions of households every single day. So this is not normal, and we recognize that, and we celebrate the fact that ESPN in 1993, Steve Bornstein, then president of ESPN, Steve's still a member of the V Foundation board, pitched to Jim and Pam Valvano this idea of starting the V Foundation. And so, just as you described, I have learned in my 2 years as CEO that the V Foundation truly is in the fabric, the DNA of ESPN. And it's felt, you know, on air with on air experts and talent such as both of you, and behind the scenes, people like Stosh and Lisa and Megan, who as simple as helped organize this conversation this afternoon with you. So, it is truly felt at all levels of ESPN. You know, since 1993, we've, because of our donors, because of the partnership and ESPN telling this story, you've helped us raise $310 million that has been invested directly in cancer research, cutting edge cancer research. And our focus is funding often young investigators, young scientists who are identified as the most promising all-stars in the cancer field. We talk about all-stars, you talk about Hall of Famers. You're just having a great conversation as I joined you. You know, the talent and the importance of talent. And we're investing in that talent, those people that have the best ideas and the numbers you referenced earlier, Alan. Those wouldn't be possible without all-stars.
Yeah,
and I think ESPN and the V Foundation, rooted in sports, understands the concept of what it takes to perform at the very highest levels and be an all-star. And that's what we invest in. And it's because of our donors that make that possible, and because of ESPN telling the story.
And we're all very competitive people, too. And that's why I love the slogan, the victory over cancer. It is something that everybody can certainly get behind. It's why I always call it, Shane and I call it, it's the best thing that we do here at ESPN. Of all the great things that we do here as a network, it still is, to me, the best thing that we do. And it's always great to talk to you each time we do this. So thanks so much for the time, Shane. All the best.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got it. The V Foundation CEO, Shane Jacobson. Again, I send you to the website, v.org/donate. It is Giving Tuesday. It is a perfect opportunity for you to join the fight with us to eradicate cancer from the face of this earth. We have all had it impact our lives in one way or another. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number for you to get back into the conversation, as we do on Aaron Rodgers and more. Who do you trust in the NFL right now? Teams that are right there on the verge. Who do you trust as we get into December football? It is Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
How do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal, and you have to be willing to work for it.
Help continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer. Visit v.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research.
v.org/donate. It's Giving Tuesday, and as you know, here at ESPN, the most important thing we do is the V Foundation for Cancer Research, and 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. It is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Also, you can see us today on ESPN2, which has been a lot of fun. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Be part of the conversation with us as we ask you the question as we get into December football, because Week 13 starts Thursday. That's December 1st, everybody. Bills Patriots, what a way to start it off. December football for Bart Scott means
cash.
Right. Make your money.
Immortality.
And it's
a shot at greatness.
And it's that time that we decide who do we really trust in the league. You really start to see that. The separation begins right here. So we asked the question today, of course, is this is the trust factor on the teams that we've been talking about. And, you know, we just mentioned a few minutes ago Aaron Rodgers deciding that even the Packers look like they're pretty much out of it, but he refuses to sit despite the injuries that he's had, the thumb, now the rib, and he refuses to sit. He just tells Pat McAfee that he plans on playing this Sunday. And we just wonder if that's really the best thing, not maybe for him, but for the Packers. Jordan Love looked pretty good at the end of that game. And you probably want to see what he is by the end of the season. This is your opportunity to do it. But there's a lot more to get to when it comes to the trust factor around the NFL. And Bob in Florida, Bart, has a question about the Eagles. Bob.
Hello.
What up, Bob?
How you doing there?
Good, good.
How you doing?
Well, I'm a little disappointed.
Why?
What's wrong, Bob?
I want to know why the Philadelphia Eagles are treated like the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL and not shown any respect.
I got you. Understood, Bob. I understand exactly where you're coming from. But here's a little explanation. When you think about the NFC East, they have the easiest schedule in all of football. So you have to ask yourself, what are the big wins or the good wins that you think that the Eagles have had? You know, you looked at they went against a team in Green Bay that, you know, has been decimated with injuries, have not lived up to expectations, and they still hung 33 points. After you thought that you went out and got Linval Joseph and Dominican Sue to kind of shore up the defensive line and run defense, and we saw Jalen Hurts last year, 9-7, going into playoffs, and when he went against another good quarterback, he didn't live up to expectations. And until he does that, they won't get the benefit of the doubt. Now, are they a team that can win? Yes, they're a very talented football team offensively, but now if you start trying to look for kinks in the armor, you look at, you know, the fact that, you know, without the safety that's injured, that maybe they can have, you know, a little slippage, you know, because they're going to play Dallas. They're going to play Dallas, and it wasn't a dominant performance over Dallas, and that was with Cooper Rush.
Yeah. So Bob, I think it's not that they're being disrespectful. I don't think that's it at all. I think there's a lot of curiosity about Jalen Hurts when now the games get really tight. And these injuries, the Jordan Davis injury has been impactful on the run defense. And now losing C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that's a major concern for your secondary. So, and you've got games coming up here where this control your destiny kind of stuff happening. So there'll be a lot more respect coming, Bob, for the Eagles as we get into December. But like, look at the win. You're right. Look at the wins this year. You know, the Eagles have beaten the Vikings.
That's a bit their best.
That's
win.
A good team, right? The Lions, Commanders, Jaguars, you know, Cardinals, now that we know what they are. Cowboys without Dak. Steelers, we know what they are. Texans, we know what they are. The Colts, barely.
Yeah.
And mention the Packers as well.
Yeah, that's a joke, man. Like, the schedule for the NFC East is a joke.
Yeah, so you tell you what, let's dive deeper into the NFC East because all four could make the playoffs. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.